Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Well, today we're going to get into the Scriptures and continue our study of the parable of the sower that's found in Matthew chapter 13. And also look at the soils, because that's what we're really looking at. We looked at the wayside, the past soil last time. We're going to look at the stony ground soil this time. So you be at the ready, have your Bible at the ready. But He's going to talk to us today about being rooted. And I want to think about that. I want to show you a picture. There's a picture of a crepe myrtle bush. It's not really my bush, although I do have a couple of crepe myrtle bushes in my yard. But at the same time, I really don't have two crepe myrtle bushes in my yard. So let me explain. When Julie and I bought the house that we live in some years ago, there were these two crepe myrtle bushes that would grow up every year, have these big pink blooms on them. And I don't hate crepe myrtles, okay, so don't get on me. But they were kind of ill-placed. They were kind of like right in the middle of the yard. They were hard to mow around, and our front yard, we felt like it was a little overgrown. We needed to open it up a little bit. So I cut down both crepe myrtle bushes, and so we no longer have crepe myrtle bushes / trees there. Except now, after about 6 years, every single summer, crepe myrtle comes back up through the grass. I have cut it down. I've mowed it down. We put chemicals on it. And every year, the crepe myrtle comes back. There's no plant. There's no bloom. There's nothing that ever gets any higher than lawnmower high. But it's still growing. Why? Because those crepe myrtle roots are still in the soil. It is the plant that refuses to die. Now, I know all you plant people are probably going to give me a lot of advice, and I would welcome it to figure out how to handle this situation. And somebody's going to say, just let the crepe myrtle bush grow. I understand that. But anyway, we got to figure that out. But you understand, it's the roots that really provide the life for the plant, and that's what Jesus is talking about. And we're looking at the part of the parable of the sower. And I want to read his original giving, and then we want to go later in the chapter to his explanation of it. But in chapter 13, verse 3, it says this, "But he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow." Verse 5 gives the second soil. "Some fell on stony places where it did not have much earth." And it says then, "And they immediately sprang up because there was no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." So it was a lack of rootedness, a lack of depth that led to this particular seed not producing fruitfulness. Remember, we talked about this in our last session, and it's simply this. The main point of the parable is fruitfulness. We want to be fruitful in life. We want to be people who produce a return on God's investment of His grace in us. But we need to be the right kind of soil, and we are looking at all these soils because every one of us at any particular time could be one of the other soils. We talked about the past soil, the one that doesn't penetrate, and it just lays there. We use the foolish man from the book of Proverbs to be our example. We're going to find another biblical example today. But let's go over to his interpretation of it. And here we're going to see this. We're going to have him telling us about the depth of our spiritual life. And he tells us that there is something about to this thing of depth of spiritual life. And if you go over to verse 20, you'll see that. Here's his explanation. "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." That's the key word of this passage, receives it with joy. "Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." She says, the audience that Jesus was preaching to, some were like all these soils. And he said, there's some that are going to come with great excitement. And notice the word joy. It's all about emotion, okay? You see, we want to say this. An emotional reaction to the word does seem real. And there's nothing wrong with reacting emotionally as long as that's not all of our reaction. We can enjoy great experience. We can enjoy the word. We can enjoy singing. We can enjoy worship. We can enjoy whatever feeling is generated. But it has to go beyond that. It has to be rooted down into the levels of faith and belief and resilience and the long view. And we'll talk more about that as we go forward. But an emotional reaction to the word can seem real because it's out there in the open. You can see people's emotions. You can hear the enthusiasm in their voice. You can hear their words. You can see the look on their faces. So with that in mind, he says that way. But then he says this, when the difficult comes, tribulation comes, hardship comes, especially arises because of the word, because people don't really want to live and obey oftentimes in accord with and in harmony with the word of God. When we're persecuted for a belief, when we're ridiculed for a belief, when we are the minority when it comes to belief in Jesus, and that was true in his day, true in our day, then we just sort of wither and there's no depth there. And that withering means the plant does not grow to maturity. That withering means that plant does not produce a harvest. It is not fruitful. If we want to be fruitful, we have to understand, as we have this telling of this spiritual life, emotions can look good, but we need more than that. I remember very vividly a young man that I knew years ago. In his particular church he attended, he had I'll just call it this way, a spiritual experience. And he was there, he made some commitment to the Lord. He was all excited about his walk in the Lord, as we should be. I don't fault him for that. But almost as soon, like within a couple of days of his announcing that he had had this religious experience, when other people around him started looking skeptical at him, accusing him of being something that he didn't feel he was, when they started putting him down for his belief in the Lord, as quickly as that spark of enthusiasm for the things of the Lord ignited, it quickly was extinguished. And to my knowledge, for several years I knew him after that, there was never ever again any sort of a real heart for the Lord. It was just this experience you see right here. And I remember seeing it in real time, that great springing up. Look, everything looks good. It looks real. But then when the hardship comes, when people call you names, when people put you down, when people make fun of you because of your faith in the Lord, it just withers away. So we can also say this as we have this telling of it. Not only is an emotional reaction to the word doesn't seem real, but it doesn't last. It doesn't last. An emotional reaction to the word does not last. It withers away. It says, immediately he stumbles. And this is the real proof. This is the real proof of what we look at in the word of God. Now, I want you to look back at this passage one more time. Verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this he who hears the word immediately receives it with joy. There is hearing, okay? And there's nothing wrong with the word. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the mouthpiece that's delivering. In this case, it's Jesus himself. The question is the seed. So we need to look deep into our hearts and look a little more depth to see if we have any depth of our heart. So I've been thinking about, what is a good biblical example? What is a picture that you see in the Bible that just opens up this reality of our spiritual life, that really tests our spiritual life? That's what we're going to talk about, testing the depths of our spiritual life. And we need to look deep in this. And really, the whole matter focuses on this. Emotions point a particular direction. And they miss the big point. And I want to call your attention to John chapter 6. And we're going to have this story about bread, the bread of life, feeding the 5,000, Jesus saying he's the bread of life and people's reaction to it. I would encourage you to read this entire chapter. It's a lengthy one, but you'll get the full flavor of it. We're just going to look at some highlights because it depicts this springing up in emotion, but not lasting. And he takes us back to this depth of really what's going on. And what really was going on was Jesus was presenting himself as the Messiah. I am the Lord coming to fulfill all these Old Testament promises. You need to believe in me. And what happened in chapter 6, at the beginning of the chapter, there was a great multitude there. This is the story of the loaves and the fish. He says to give them something to eat. And all they can find is one little boy's fish. He had 5 barley loaves, which, you know, I'm West Virginian. I think of about the size of a pepperoni roll, okay? 5 little rolls and 2 fish. And what's that? You know, that's not going to matter. Well, Jesus takes them, blesses them, gives the disciples. They keep passing it out. God multiplies in this miracle. So 5,000 men were fed, and there was also women and children there. So you probably could guesstimate up to about 15,000 people all had food from one little boy's lunch, and it was a miracle of miracles. But the point was not that they had a good meal. The point was not that he provided for them, but what did it say about the one who was providing? It needs to take us back to the person not necessarily what we are receiving. And this is for us. If we're going to have depth in our spiritual life, we need to ask, what is really going on? What is God saying to me? What is He revealing to me? We need to ask more about what's going on than what's coming in. And sometimes we focus on what's coming in. Oh, I received a blessing. I'm doing okay. This is working well. This is something that I've learned. And what's coming this way? But what is God saying? What is God doing? What is the big picture even beyond my life? And that's where the people missed it. Now, we're going to ask four questions today that's going to help us to truly gauge the depth of our spiritual life. This may not be all fun, because when we get to probing around our hearts, remember, three of these four soils are deficient. Three of these four soils do not lead to fruitfulness. Only one does. So we're taking one at a time. The first three are going to be rather negative in their presentation. But we need to listen to what God wants to say to us, what Jesus wants to say to us. And let's ask these questions, all right? So I want you to look at the first question. It's simply this: do I follow the crowd? Good question. When it comes to spiritual enthusiasm, do I follow the crowd? So remember, He's just fed the all these people. And then in verse 15, here's the people's reaction. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him king, He departed again to a mountain by Himself alone. Jesus figured this out, and no surprise, He knows everything. He figures everything out. But He comes and He says, they're going to make me king. They're going to force me to be king. Now, that is emotional enthusiasm, all right? They were so excited about Jesus. He has to be the king. We're going to make Him king. But rather than Jesus embracing that, He basically walks away. And we'll see why as we go through this passage. It's because they were just predominantly following the crowd. Someone says, let's make Him king. Someone else says, yeah, let's make Him king. Let's make Him king. And the voices spread out. And finally, this becomes the majority opinion. And if everybody's saying, let's make Him king, well, let's make Him king. After all, the evidence is there. We're feeling good. Our bellies are full. Our hunger is gone. He can feed us indefinitely. If he can feed us today, He can feed us tomorrow. This is all good. This is going to be great. But they missed the point. The point was not to get their bellies filled and to make them feel good. There's nothing wrong with either of those, but that was not the point. The point was, I am the bread of life, and He's going to make that later. I am come to give you eternal life. I've not come just to give you a better life on this earth. I've come to give you better life forever and ever and ever, without any end going forward. That is the point. But sometimes we get so caught up in whatever the crowd is doing. What is other people saying? You and I are old enough probably to know that, think about some of the fads that you've experienced in life. And everybody gets into the same fad. You look at the styles. If you really want to be shocked, go back and pull out your old high school yearbook and look at how you were dressed. I really don't want to do that, frankly. Because in the 70s, when I was a teenager, we all went crazy in our minds, okay? But you look at it. Everybody's sort of dressed in the same fashion. Hairstyles are the same. We all kind of look the same. Why? Because we just followed the crowd. This is the hairstyle. This is the clothing style. This is the, you know, all it goes. And we just follow those trends. And you think of all the fads, you know, that have gone through. And you can name a number of them. We are people who naturally just sort of get in line with all the people around us. If that is the depth of our spiritual experience, we do not have enough depth. We're not in the place that we should be. And I know some people, I remember someone telling me once that, and I understand this to a degree, they said, if I could just go to church every single day, I could keep up with walking with the Lord. If I just were around people and heard the singing, heard the preaching and whatever. But you know, sometimes God wants us to not be together in church. He wants us to be out there doing His work, living for Him out there where other people need to hear the truth. We don't just come into this place and we stay here. We need to go out. And we can't just subsist on the reality of being with other people who encourage us. So you need to ask yourself, do I follow the crowd? And here's how you can detect that. What is my consistency? When I'm with God's people, am I doing well? And this is not to say we shouldn't be with God's people. Understand that. But how am I doing when I'm not with God's people? If there is a sharp fall off and a sharp decline in my spiritual life, then maybe the depth of my spiritual life is just what I'm getting from other people. And God calls us to come back and to say, Lord, what are You doing? What are You saying to me? What is Your word talking to me about? We need to have a real openness to seek the depths of His word and the depths of His person. They missed that point. So, question, do we follow the crowd? Second question, do I focus on the inward or the upward? Okay? And I want you to go down to chapter 6 and look at verse 26. Now, We have Jesus crossing the water. We have the storm in the sea and the disciples being afraid and all of that. And you can see that in those intervening verses. If you get down to verse 26, we have this statement. And the people now that were fed the next day, were the previous day, the next day, and now meet him. They're expecting another meal, frankly. Jesus answered and said to them, verse 26, and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs," that was the miracle, "but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." You see, they were focused on the inward. They were focused on what I can fill my stomach with, how that makes me feel. If feelings are the sum total of the depth of our spiritual life, it is not going to last. We need to be rooted. Notice he says, "You missed seeing not because you saw the signs." What is God trying to say to you? Not what is he doing for you? And they were focused on the inward. It was all this way. My meal, my food, my thing. And there was also this wanting him to be king that we looked at a moment ago. There was this desire that he was going to be the Messiah that would ride into Jerusalem with a sword and defeat and to slay all the Romans and all the bad guys. And then we have this perfect utopia, this perfect paradise. Messiah is going to rule it. He's just going to drop food in our laps on a daily basis. We don't even need to work. It's sort of divinely inspired welfare. There's something for everybody. You don't have to do anything to get it. However, Jesus says, "You missed the sign." The sign is, I am the Messiah. I'm the one you need to listen to, the one you need to believe. And part of what you're going to find out is, as you follow me, there is going to be some tribulation. There's going to be some hardship. There's going to be some difficulty. We are called at times to suffer with him and just to suffer in life. Some of the lessons that he teaches us, and some of the best lessons we can learn, occur during periods of sorrow and periods of hurt and periods of pain. So that's part of the program. You're going to sign up for that? What are the signs? What's he saying? So do we focus on the inward or the upward? How do we know if we're where we are? Well, it's the same exact thing I said a moment ago. If our confidence, our joy, our peace, our consistency in life does not last but trails off sharply, then we're not rooted in the right place. Rather than focusing about what this on the inward, how I feel, focus on the upward of what God intends ultimately to do. And our ultimate goal is to bring glory to him, not to bring pleasure to me. We do have some pleasure. We have some joy. There's nothing wrong with feeling good. There's nothing wrong with good emotions. But you need more than that. Otherwise, you're like the stony ground soil. So it needs to tap deep in. We tap in deep into what God's purpose is. For the world, it's to show his glory. And for us, that we would be more and more like Jesus. We could stick the word maturity right in there and be accurate. We need to be maturing in him. Are you growing in him? And sometimes we need to accept the sorrows and the pain and grow through it. Sometimes we need to look down in the depths of our soul and say, what are those hurts? What are those needs? God, help me to work on that. Those fears that are down in there. Those things that I react strongly to that lead me to falling into a pattern I shouldn't fall into. Lord, help me deal with those things. Don't focus on the inward as far as what's coming in my direction and how I feel, but the upward about what God wants and what he wants for us is maturity and the big picture. He wants our lives to bring glory to him. Question number three, do I emphasize the physical over the spiritual? And I know that's very close to the last one, but we want to look at this passage. Look at verse 35. He's in a discussion with these about the nature of the bread of life as he introduces it. 35, he said, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have not come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, listen up to this, that all he has given to me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is all spiritual reality. That's not the filling my stomach today. That's not the here and now today. This is all beyond that. He says, what the people that God has given me as a gift, those who come in belief, I'm not going to lose any of those. He says later, he says, this is the will of those who have seen me. This is the will of him who sent me, that those who have seen me would believe and that they would have everlasting life. Let me just take a moment and say this, ask you this of you. Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus for everlasting life? I trust that you have. If not, we want to help you make that step of faith. Get in touch with us. But you just need to believe that Jesus died for you and received his gift of salvation. But we need to believe in him. It's all about his intention for us. Are we just, where does our mind go most of the time? Are we thinking about this world, this life, our stuff, or do we think about the spiritual reality? You think about that for ourselves. God has this covered. Eternal life is ours. And also we need to think about others who need that same eternal life, and it only comes through belief in Christ. We need to live before them and speak God's truth to them, so maybe some of those will come to know Christ as well. Question number four, do I look for ritual or relationship? Go down to verse 60. It says there, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who could understand it? Basically what he just said is, I'm the bread of life, you need me, you need to partake of me. And then he knew that the disciples had this sort of reaction, like, how do we even deal with this? Because they were looking for an earthly kingdom, earthly bread, physical things. And he's saying, no, it's not about just this ritual religion that you've been a part of. You need a genuine relationship with me. You need me. You don't need bread. You don't need just miracles. You don't need just joy. You don't need just need emotion. You need me. You need me. It's all focused on the person of the Lord Jesus. He says this about his words, verse 63. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. All that is not physical. That is part of what he does. And it says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. That's why I think this is the perfect picture of the stony ground. Early in this chapter, they were going to come by force and make him king. Now it's like, no, we're done with that. Now that the emotions are gone, now that it's getting hard, now that I can't understand it or I can't figure it out, or he's talking all this spiritual stuff and we want a king, we're out of here. We're checking out. And he also asked the 12, will you go away? And they do not. Peter says this when to whom shall we go? This is 68. You have the words of eternal life. Peter understood that this was spiritual, not physical. He also knew that it was relationship, not ritual. To whom shall we go? We got you. This is a relationship. And I just want to encourage you. You know, we do all sorts of spiritual things. We have church. We have worship. We sing. We give. We study God's word. All that is important. But beyond that, it has to be that I'm in love with him, that I serve him, that I'm going to accept whatever he says, even if I have trouble understanding it, even if it doesn't meet my expectations, even if it leads me into some hardship and sorrow. I'm going to follow him because I need him. It's not about the ritual. It's not about having these things that I feel comfortable with to make me feel better spiritually. But I need to have a relationship with him. And we engage in that relationship primarily through our prayer life and through our worship. We've included that in this service. We include that in our regular worship services. But we need to do that personally daily. Worship him today. Love him today. Talk to him today. We don't want to be like the soil. That's the stony ground soil. It looks so good for a while. They wanted to come and make him king. We get all enthused emotionally, but then we fall away. They went and no longer walk with him, as it says in John 6. We want to have the long haul. And we do that by making sure we don't just follow the crowd, that we don't focus on the inward but the upward, that we don't focus on just the physical but primarily the spiritual, and we don't just give in to the ritual. We seek a real relationship with him. It's my prayer that you and I will do that this day and days yet future.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.